Good afternoon, everybody. Unfortunately for you, I do my best work in the morning. So I'm going to do my best to keep this moving along. Whiting is behind tab 6. Call your attention to documents you'll probably need for these discussions. There's an advisory panel meeting summary, and there's two oversight committee meeting summaries. You may need those to flesh out the discussion of the various motions. And there's document number 4, which is the decision document, which is the primary document that I'll be working off of. And we've tried to bundle, we have a huge number of motions. We've tried to bundle them into groups and to hopefully have you vote on them in groups. And the purpose of this is to shorten the process up, but also to make this flow as best as possible. I'd also call your attention to document number 4 from the SSC yesterday under tab 12. You might want to pull that out. That's the Whiting report that we received yesterday from Dr. LeGault, because you may want to refer to that. And the first decision that, to back up just a little bit, what we're going to do here today is try and produce a list of alternatives to go into the Whiting specification package to go to public hearing. And I'll say, by way of editorializing here just a little bit, the committee has provided ranges of alternatives for ABCs, and if we could narrow that range down some, if the council could, that would certainly assist the staff because there'd be less options to analyze, and would also probably make it easier for the public to comment, because if we go out with, you know, 3, 4, 5 different options, it makes it rather difficult for people to get some idea of where we're actually going. And the first decision we're going to have to make, it just so happens, is probably the only one that will be a little bit controversial, and that's on the ABC for Red Hake. And basically on all of these, the intent will be the same for both the north and the south, for both Red Hake and Silver Hake, and the intent is to take into account scientific uncertainty and risk tolerance that the ABC may cause overfishing. Lower ABCs imply less risks. The ABCs are expressed as a percentile of the overfishing level distribution that estimates quantifiable scientific uncertainty, with the 50th percentile being risk neutral. This is fairly standard. We've been through this with quite a few stocks. The ABCs would apply to the 2012 to 2014 fishing year. And so basically, again, to back up just a little bit, to remind everybody, people listening at home or whatever, on all these stocks, there is no overfishing, and they're not overfished. The council will have to pick the percentile of risk that it is comfortable with, recognizing that, as I said, none of these stocks are overfished and overfishing isn't occurring. So with that said, I think we need the first motion up on the board. And this is a committee motion. So I move on behalf of the committee to consider 25, 30, and 35th percentile of the overfishing limit as the basis for setting the northern and southern Red Hake stock allowed biological catches.
Committee motion does not require a second. Discussion. Mary Beth and then Doug Grout.
Just a quick question for David. I'm on this committee, and the way you just described the task here was for the council to be paring down the number of alternatives for analysis, and that is the discussion we had at the committee level, and that this is our recommendation to do that. Is that correct? Is that what your intent was?
That's correct. This is a committee motion. If council members want to narrow the range as an example, that's the council's prerogative. But these are the committee motions, and to narrow the range, there would have to be a motion to amend.
And I guess the clarification I was looking for was that the committee started with a longer list, and we have narrowed it already. And just so it's clear to people, that, as you say, the council can narrow it again, but we have taken one step in that direction.
That's correct, and that's why I asked people to pull out this report from the SSC and to remind them that any of the percentiles of OFL that aren't cross-hatched, the SSC said are acceptable to them. So there is range here for the council if they wish to pick different numbers than the committee has.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yesterday at the SSC report, there were some comments that were made that had me looking a little bit more closely at our Oversight Committee report and the SSC report. And the comment that was made, and I found it actually in the Oversight Committee report on page 2 under Whiting, first paragraph here, said a couple of fishermen reported that to the committee that they had landed nearly as much as the assessment document by themselves. I found this kind of curious since this is a stock that's not overfished and overfishing isn't occurring. And I also noted right underneath that initially the committee had wanted to recommend the 50th OFL percentile, but then decided against that because NIMS and council staff said that wouldn't comply with National Standard 1 because the OFL, which is 325 metric tons, was about equal to the ABC, and so you wouldn't be taking into any consideration any scientific uncertainty. So that kind of bothered me, and I went back and I looked at the assessment summary and found a line in here that says catch data are a major source of uncertainty. This is page 43. I know this isn't one of our documents, but I've looked this up. Catch data in the Red Hake are a major source of uncertainty for the assessment because of mixing reported in the landings of red and white hake and uncertainty in identification of the species observe themselves, and when we get into misreporting or landings, oftentimes we're talking about underreporting of landings, which from what I understood in discussing this with Annie, that an underreporting of landings could potentially result in a higher ABC, a higher stock size, because we're not reporting all the landings. This has made me a little bit concerned about this, only from the standpoint of this is essentially a bycatch fishery and what this might have an effect if we have ABC that's so low that we could end up shutting down portions of the directed groundfish fishery in an attempt to try and keep overfishing from occurring potentially on a stock that may not be, at least the abundance levels may be a little bit higher if our catches were on are somewhat uncertain. So with all that being said, and I did want to get this in here, I did want to offer up I'm trying to think of whether this would be an amendment to the motion or a substitute for the motion, because there's three options in there. And that I personally am feeling that that in an attempt to, because of the uncertainty of the landings there, that I feel more comfortable in taking a little bit more risk with our management. And clearly, the SSC provided us that option. If you look, they provided us a range of percentiles all the way from 5% up to 50%. Now, 50% to me is not a starter, but I would like to make a motion that for northern red hake, we use the 40th percentile of the OFL to set the ABC.
As another option?
As the option?
As the only option.
Is the only option? Is that...
Are you adding that, or are you subtracting everything else and replacing that?
I was going to put it in as the only option, but if the council's more, tell you what, I will replace, I'd like to replace, amend this. I'm going to change my motion so that we can still have options in here. I'd like to amend the original motion and replace the 35th percent, the 35th percentile with the 40th percentile. So it would say to consider the 25th, 30th, and 40th percentile of the OFL.
And just for clarification, you're talking about both Northern stock?
No, just the Red Hake. That's what we're talking about. Okay.
Both stocks.
But I'm not sure we can use that for... Yeah, I can. Yes, I will.
Is there a second? Mary Beth. Discussion. Andy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to try and put this into a little better context in terms of where we are at in the process. And we're developing alternatives that would be included and analyzed in the draft amendment. And this would be the first time in any plan that we have gotten this far without narrowing down the ABC to a level which includes a level of scientific uncertainty. For example, with skates, it was 25%. With some ground fish stocks, it was less. But the reason that a range has come forward to this point in time has been a realization that we really haven't had dialogue about risk tolerance. Now, I don't know whether the council wants to take that out the public hearing, but I'll note that we haven't taken out a range of ABCs to public hearing. I don't know whether the council intended on narrowing that down before, when it gets a initial draft document, or wants to narrow that down now. But the wider range that we have now, the more difficult it will be to do the analysis and provide the public with enough information to provide meaningful comment. So I think it would be helpful if the council can at least have some discussion about the need for a range or to try and narrow that down to some extent.
I'm just trying to get a sense of where we need to go on this. You're saying that we perhaps should be looking... instead of increasing the number of possibilities as this will, that you could still have the 40th percentile, but you might want to eliminate something else so you have an X percentile and a 40th percentile. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think in previous instances at this stage of the process, the council has narrowed it down to one level for each stock and had the discussion of risk at this time. I'm not arguing one level over another.
Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a quick question about the methods, if you'll indulge me. As you have these options up here about different percentiles, are those percentiles of the OFL distribution coming straight out of the assessment, or is the SSC crafting a distribution of the OFL? I'm curious to know how that's proposed to take place.
The percentiles are based upon an estimate of the distribution of OFL considering scientific uncertainty. They came from assessment data updated with 2010 and 2011 information. It's equivalent to what others refer to as a P-star.
In part, the reason for me asking, we, in working with RSSC, we've recently, or the committee has recently developed what amounts to a default in creating the distributions for the OFLs. So rather than using them directly out of an assessment, they're taking a coefficient of variation, creating a log normal distribution of the OFL, and then they're applying our P-star control rule. And so the default that they've come up with is to use 100% CV to create that distribution. And they haven't published this yet. I anticipate that they'll put together a paper that would be informative. When they do, I'll certainly share it with you. But just for reference, that's what we just used in our first time in the last specification cycle. So we did it last week with spiny dogfish. Prior to that, we did it with summer flounder, skunk, and some of those other species. But we end up applying the 40th percentile out of that distribution for typical life history species and 35th percentile. And again, that's just for reference. But if you use that method, you end up with about 81% of the OFL for an ABC. So it's in the same ballpark as your previous default of 75% of the ABC. But I just wanted to understand what the method was for getting to that distribution.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, in this case, we're using something very much more specific than that and not applying a default. We're actually estimating the uncertainty in our estimate of biomass and our uncertainty in the reference point. It's a joint probability distribution to estimate these P-star values. What the missing component in it is, what is an appropriate P-star value for a stock might vary depending upon what role that stock plays in the economics of the fishery and the ecosystem.
Okay. So we have the amendment to the motion. Further discussion on that? Go to the audience. Any comments? Back to the council. Doug.
The reason for me leaving it as a range of options here was to promote discussion amongst the council, because I think Andy's right that this is a council decision, what your risk tolerance is in setting these ABCs. If there's no thought about or no discussion that the council wants to have about what kind of risk tolerance we'd like to have on Red Hake here, and I've explained my reasons for being willing to take a higher risk tolerance, then I could very easily see if I could have, if the seconder would let me amend this just to have a single risk tolerance, the risk tolerance that I'm comfortable with, to have you vote on that, and then you can decide whether you like that as a higher or lower. I was hoping this might promote some kind of discussion amongst the council, but maybe not. Again, this is a risk tolerance. What are you comfortable with from a risk standpoint in setting these?
Mary Beth.
Well, we certainly had quite a discussion about this at the committee level, which is why I seconded the motion. And, there is some questions about the data that derives the northern red hake stock amounts and reporting issues, and we get into to a few of those. And I think the thing that the reason that I second the motion is that, you know, neither stock is overfished, overfishing is not occurring, and the result of having, catch level for the northern stock that's less than current, and there's some disagreement about what the current number is, whether it's maybe even as much as twice as much, is that you create a choke species, and is that really necessary given the data we have? And in my estimation, I think it is not. Whatever the maker of the motion would like to do, either to leave this motion this way, I'm comfortable, or your other alternative, either way is fine with me.
I think the ball got hit back to your court, Doug.
Okay, if it's hit back to my court and there's been no discussion here, then I would like to make this a perfection to the motion to consider the 40th percentile of the OFL as the basis for setting northern and southern red hake ABCs.
Just for the record, that is okay with the seconder. Okay. Discussion. Tom.
Being pretty new to this, and I'm not sure who to direct this question to, but are there other stocks that, you know, have this 40th percentile and that use that with the same sort of data issues that we're encountering with red hake? Just in a descriptive way, I'm not sure what we're currently using for some of these other stocks and where this falls in within that range.
Yeah, the vast majority of stocks use some form of default P-star of 25%, which is equivalent to the 25th percentile.
Mary Beth.
We don't have anybody here from the SSC, but as I recall the discussion, I mean, they provided this range because they were comfortable with all of the alternatives within the range. So that goes all the way to the 50th percentile in this particular case. They noted, as they have, many other times before, and as Chris mentioned yesterday, that the council hasn't been specific in the risk, so they didn't want to make that decision for us. But as far as their opinion, they presented these tables, and as long as David already pointed out, doesn't fall within the hatched or grayed out cells, they're comfortable with those amounts. So,
further discussion on the perfected amendment. Dave, then Tom.
Yeah, it's a little difficult for me as chair of the committee to weigh in here, but I think I really should say something. In that, you know, I think that this discussion of risk transcends this particular topic, and generally speaking, I would say I would be more risk averse with a high dollar, low volume fish like scallops, for example. You know, do you want to take any chances with a $265 million fishery? This is a fishery. This isn't even a fishery. This is a bycatch. It would be basically like saying to me, how much risk do you want to take if you set an OFL for longhorn sculpins, that it might shut down the groundfish fishery? That's what these are roughly equivalent of. They're kind of like the longhorn sculpins of a number of fisheries here. They're a fish that occurs. They aren't really targeted. We don't know. There's a lot of reasons to believe, for a lot of different reasons that I don't think we have to go into here today, that they probably haven't been recorded accurately in the catch for a number of years. And that all affects what comes out of the assessment. And the assessment says that. It says that it does. It doesn't. You know, we're not real certain here. Now, my feeling is, with something like this it's going to have very little economic impact, even if we should discover that, you know, there's been a mistake, which I don't think you're going to. Personally, I think our assessment of these is off by an order of magnitude. I think there's as many of these as there are whitehake. as an example. And that's an order of magnitude. That's 1,000 times different. And so I'm personally comfortable as an individual with more risk on a species like this than I would be on scallops or cod or something like that. And I think that's the way you should approach your view of risk. Is it, and that's how I approach it on an individual basis anyway.
Tom.
I agree with Dave that, there are a number of reasons to be risk averse, and obviously revenue of the stock is one of them. I think there are plenty of others. My follow-up question, and just because I wasn't at the committee meeting, the highlighted 30 percentile, everything was approvable or acceptable. Did they highlight that for a specific reason? Was that sort of their equivalent? The SSC I'm speaking of, was that their equivalent of their preferred?
Andy, did you want to answer that?
The SSC recommended those levels on page, not number of pages, I think it's 6 of their report, as I would characterize as more of a default, but consideration that red hake may not be as important to the fishery and you could be less risk adverse with this particular stock, and so they increased their recommendation to 30% rather than 25. That being said, they didn't rule out some other levels lacking this discussion of risk tolerance.
Further discussion? Doug?
Just a follow-up for the council's information, that ABC is roughly about 86% of the OFL, and under some of the other motions we're going to be taking up, we're going to reduce the ACL is going to be, it's recommended to be 95% of the ABC, and then there's a TAL that they're, the committee is also recommending that the actual landings are going to be lower. So we're taking into consideration, as Magnuson asked us to do, we're taking off something from the OFL for scientific uncertainty, for management uncertainty, and then we're going even further.
Mary Beth. Now, if I were to stick to true Robert's Rules of Orders, you get two bites of the apple here.
Well, thank
you. Do you have a burning desire to say something?
Just very quickly, Chris gave the report on whiting yesterday, and he was very clear that the decision on risk is for the council and that all of these options were available to us.
Anyone else? Call the question. All those in favor of the perfected motion to amend, so indicate. Yep. 14 in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 2. 14-1-2. The motion carries. We're now on to the main motion as amended. Further discussion? All those in favor, so indicate. Fifteen, opposed, abstention, 2. 15-0-2. Motion carries. Dave.
Okay, if we could get the second motion up, that will be to the two stocks of silverhake. And I would move on behalf of the committee to consider the 25th and 35th percentile of the overfishing limit as the basis for setting northern and southern silver hake allowed biological catches.
Committee motion. Doesn't need a second. Discussion.
And again, you can refer to the committee discussion, but basically the committee picked a little bit narrower range here, and the reason for that was, again, based on the SSC's advice that we could pick a number of ranges, but that because all these numbers produced a much higher catch than is currently being seen for this species, that it was felt that we didn't need to go to a really high range, that we'd basically apply a little bit of precaution here, extra precaution, and allow the catch to creep up incrementally instead of exponentially, potentially. It's a lot of potentials.
Discussion from the council. Andy.
Yeah, thank you. Again, to put this in a bit of context about the discussions over the past few months, both at the PDT and the SSC level, as you know, here again, the SSC put forward a P-star value of 25% as being a preferred default without this, further the benefit of discussion about risk tolerance. And you'll note in the table from the SSC report that that level is anywhere from 5 to 9 times landings dependent, or a catch, I'm sorry, dependent upon what time period and stock selected. But more importantly, the PDT put forward a number of cautionary notes about scientific uncertainty that could not be quantified. And they included, as outlined as caveats in the SSC report, years selected for reference point, productivity, possible changes in productivity, an age truncation, even though biomass has increased recently. There has been little or no increase in the numbers of older fish, and that a large increase. The other aspect that was put forward by the PDT was the degree of predation, high degree of predation on silver hake that was very variable from year to year. So there were a lot of uncertainties. The PDT, I think, was coming from the point of view that maybe even the 25th percentile was too high. And it seems that the SSC caveats lean in that direction as well.
Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Probably should have said this a while back, but Andy, to get back to the purpose of this meeting, we have an amendment that we're setting for ACLs. We need a range of opportunities. What we're doing today is setting forth the opportunity, the ranges that you want to look at in the DEIS that will be analyzed. So you want to have a number of different alternatives to be analyzed, not too many, not too few, to get this thing moving. And what is the preferred alternative? Is that correct? So that we shouldn't, let's not argue over two that are very close. Keep them both in there. And what is your preferred one? As opposed to, spending, isn't that what we're doing? Eliminating or discussing the range of alternatives to be analyzed in the DES and picking a preferred alternative?
Well, generally we do that for management alternatives, but I don't think we've ever taken out a range of ABCs in a draft amendment to public hearing.
I'll go to the audience. Anybody out there for comment? Okay. Back to the council. Mark.
To be consistent with what we did with red hake in selecting a single ABC, I believe that we should do the same here, and I would like to move to amend this motion to strike the 35th percentile from it, and we'll just consider the 25th percentile.
Is there a second? Doug Grout. Discussion. Seeing none, I call the question. All those in favor? Oh, Pat.
Sorry, I'd like to hear some rationale for that. I understand that we've got this range from the SSC, but they did highlight the 25th percentile as, they don't want to call it a recommendation, but as the number. Oh, I thought he said 35th. I'm sorry, just misunderstood. Sorry.
Will there be anything else?
Sorry.
Okay. Any other comments? Call the question. All those in favor so indicate. 16. Opposed? Abstention? Somebody leave the table?
Okay.
16. To zip to zip.
If we could have the next motion.
Yes, we need to vote. That was amendment.
You're correct.
The main motion as amended. All those in favor? I think that's the same vote. 16. 16, zip, zip. Now, Dave.
Okay. I'm just going to wait for it to stop moving. I moved on behalf of the committee to set the Red Hake annual catch limit at 95% of the allowed biological catch to account for management uncertainty.
Committee motion, doesn't need a second. Discussion. Tom.
Sorry, I don't want to make this any longer than it needs to be, but I haven't gone through this process, and some of us would probably benefit just understanding where this falls. So we just heard a number of issues about reporting and species identification with other stocks that experience similar issues in that way. Is a 5% reduction what we've gone with, say, in skates that I know have some issues in terms of identification?
Andy, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, actually, the committee discussed this pretty extensively and felt that the concerns about misreporting and underreporting were less here than in some other species like skates, where we use a 25th percentile buffer for management uncertainty. And while I'm at it, in terms of how things fit together, with kind of skipping ahead a little bit, if you follow the entire process and the alternatives that the committee is putting forward, there's a table on page 6 of the decision document that outlines the values and such. At the 25th percentile of OFL and 35th percentile of OFL, and I would, of course, update that for the 40th percentile for northern and southern red hake. The other issue on the ABC that I think was accepted by a committee but not necessarily voted on, just want to get out there on the table, on southern red hake, or silver hake, the SSC recommended combining or making allowance for the mixed catch of offshore hake in the southern silver hake stock and increasing that ABC by 4% to take into account those values. So I think that is, just for the record, was included in the committee motion.
Further comment? Call a question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. 16-0-0. Dave.
The next motion, please. Okay, I move on behalf of the committee to utilize a 5% management uncertainty buffer for setting Silverhake annual catch limits.
Committee motion, doesn't need a second. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor so indicate. Dave.
On a roll. I hope.
When are you going to get to grouping these?
This kidding. Is grouping them. There were 40 odd motions. I move on behalf of the committee to use a 3-year moving average 2008 to 2010 of estimated discard rate to set the red and silver hake 2012 to 2014 TALs, which stands for total allowable landings.
Committee motion, doesn't need a second. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor so indicate. 16-0-0.
Next, please. move on behalf of the committee that Amendment 19 assume a 3% total allowable landing set aside to account for state waters landings of all four, all four whiting stocks? You can't. Okay. It should be all four hake stocks.
All four hake stocks.
Committee motion. No second. Discussion. Call a question. All those in favor so indicate. 16-0-0.
Okay. I move on behalf of the committee to include as an alternative an annual total allowable landing by species for each stock area.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. 16-0-0. Maybe I should do this the other way around, say who's going to vote against it first. And
Paul's going to wear out his finger pointing and counting. Next, please. I move on behalf of the committee to include as an Amendment 19 alternative an allocation of northern area total allowable landings into three area groups: cultivator shoals, other exempted fishing areas, Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, in the Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank exemption area, according to historic 2004 to 2010 proportions.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor indicate. 15 opposed. Abstention. 1. 15-0-1.
Next, please. Okay, I move on behalf of the committee to include a rollover provision so that underages in cultivator shoals are allocated to other Gulf of Maine exempted areas during the fishing year.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion, Paul.
So then it isn't envisioned that these three areas that you set up with ACLs or TALs, it's not envisioned that each one of them would have their own AM?
Well, it's an option. We can have it as all the areas is one TAL with one AM, or we can have it, you know, again, that's why we're putting these options out here to go to hearing with, to have the three areas, the Cultivator Shoals, the other exempted areas in the Gulf of Maine, and then the groundfish exemption for the people with large mesh. And we want to have a provision that Cultivator Shoals, the fishery is extremely variable. Some years it's very high, some years it's very low. And if there is a big underage at Cultivator Shoals, since that closes in October, that fish be available to the other regions if need be. That's what this alternative says.
Anyone else? Call the question. All those in favor so indicate.
Okay. Move on behalf of the committee that the draft amendment consider two additional alternatives. First, no sub-allocation of the annual total allowable landings, and another, implementing a quarterly total allowable landing allocation regardless of the relationships between landings and total allowable landings.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion.
But I thought we passed the motion that said we were going to sub the TAL into three areas.
That's one alternative. This is another alternative. We're going to have several alternatives for the public to comment on, because the public, as an example, may want to just keep it as one. They may want to break it up. We're not sure. There was a lot of – the advisors had a lot of different opinions on this.
Anyone else? Call the question. All those in favor so indicate.
Okay. Move on behalf of the committee that Amendment 19 include an alternative that would set an annual total allowable landings, TAL, for southern whiting stocks. If the previous year's landings are greater than two-thirds of the total allowable landings, via authority given to the regional administrator, the plan would trigger an allocation of the total allowable landings to fishing year quarters in the following year according to 2008 to 2010 proportions. The allocation procedure would include a provision to roll over underages to the next quarter and overages to be deducted from the fourth fishing year quarter. First quarter underages would roll over to the third quarter winter instead of the second quarter.
Committee motion. No second required. Discussion. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. David, just a quick clarification question. Is this proposal to roll the entire underage over?
Yeah, this is in the southern area only, because the fishery's open there year-round as opposed to the northern area where there are these little boxes that open up on a seasonal basis. And the concern of the people in the southern area was that, as an example, if a derby were to develop, all the fish could be taken in the first quarter and they need market throughout the year. So this is set up kind of, I guess you'd say, kind of like the squid thing where they roll the overages over and the underages.
Just to be clear, the rollover is quarterly.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Are these AMs or are these just, I mean, I'm going through this and I can't find, you know, we're setting TALs, but I don't see accountability measures. Or are these accountability measures?
Yeah, if you're following along, this is on page 3 of the decision document. It's an allocation of the TAL amongst quarters or fishing areas or season. If you look a little bit further down, we'll get into in-season accountability measures and post-season accountability measures that are compatible with these allocation alternatives.
Any other comments? Call the question. All those in favor so indicate.
Okay. I move on behalf of the committee to include two options in the alternatives to apply separately by species or to implement a quarterly allocation at the same time for red and silver hake.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion. Tom.
I'm not actually clear on what this motion means. So can we just clarify that?
Okay. Spike.
Yeah, the previous motion deals with a springing allocation to quarters. And it wasn't clear during the committee discussion whether that type of allocation should occur when a single species, let's say red hake in the south, reaches two-thirds of the TAL and springs a quarterly allocation on that basis just for that stock. So the committee is including two alternatives, one which does it by stock and one that does it for the entire southern stock area.
Further comments? Call the question. All those opposed? I tried to trick you, right? Abstentions? Motion carries 16-0.
Okay. I move on behalf of the committee to include as an alternative that the total allowable landings trigger for all areas except cultivator shoals would be 90% for silver hake or red hake, each triggering a reduction to an incidental possession limit for that species for all vessels.
Committee motion doesn't require a second. Discussion. Call the question. Council says we have to raise our hands. All those in favor? 17. Zip, zip.
Okay. I move on behalf of the committee to include an alternative that the total allowable landing trigger in the cultivator shoals area would be 100% for silver hake and 90% for red hake, both triggering a reduction to an incidental possession limit for that species for vessels fishing in the exempted areas. If 100% of the total allowable landings has been taken on either species, vessels using less than regulated large mesh would be prohibited from fishing in cultivator shoals.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion. Pat.
I'm trying to understand what it means, I guess. So for the 100%, when we reach the TAL for silver hake, it triggers an incidental possession limit, which is what happens. Yeah, so we reach the TAL and we're going to allow an incidental possession limit?
No. What it's means is that when 100% of the TAL is taken for either species, the cultivated shoals closes to small mesh. And that the reason for this was that the advisors feel that people only go there to fish for silver hake, and that if it was, as an example, to be left open for red hake, nobody go there anyway, so it may as well just be closed. But they didn't want it closing at 90%. They wanted to get 100% of the potential silver hake in the area, so when it reached 100, it would close.
Jim?
I think, isn't that cultivated area open in the groundfish plan? And that, how can the whiting plan close an area?
That's why it says using less than regulated large mesh will be prohibited.
Oh, I understand that. But my question is not that. I understand that. Yeah. But the to allow small mesh in that area, it's in the groundfish plan. They also can use small mesh for whiting in that area. So I'm worried about the overlap, and I'm worried about how does the whiting plan close a rule that's allowed in the multi-species plan? There's no separate plan?
No.
The whiting plan is part of the groundfish plan.
It is, okay.
This is small mesh part of the groundfish plan.
Okay, so that point is fine, but then the point of, if you say all small mesh, does that include herring?
Yeah, what did we... Do you remember? We had that discussion.
Yeah, the committee had the discussion and included herring in the cultivator shoals area, but allowed for incidental catch with large mesh while fishing in the cultivator shoals area because it was felt that that was part of the total northern stock TAL and would not jeopardize going over the TAL for the entire northern area as a whole.
The other part of the discussion was that the herring fleet are not allowed to possess silver or red hake. So they already operate as an exempted fishery. And I don't think they'd be affected by this. Yeah, there's no... The bottom trawling would be prohibited. It would not prohibit seining or midwater trawling because they operate as an exemption already.
Anyone else? Mary Beth.
That is exactly the intent in the discussion we had at the committee. And as long as Andy understands that, I think we're fine. But I do think the wording here is a little, maybe a little confusing. But I don't want to belabor it at the moment.
Anyone else? Tom, then Paul.
Just to follow up on that, if it doesn't impact the herring fleet, where do the red hake and silver hake that those boats are catching but not possessing, where is that accounted for? I mean, if they're catching that, where's that catch accounted for in whatever plan?
Well, they're not catching it. We had this long, convoluted discussion. It's very easy to get into the weeds here. They're not catching it, and the way we set up one of the previous motions that you already voted on, the non-catch is accounted for in the regulated mesh portion of that amendment.
Paul,
I think that's exactly why we have the herring monitoring issue, is that we don't know. I mean, you're allowing a small mesh into a small mesh area. The only stuff that's taken off the top is 3% for state water and discard. So the 2008 to 2010 discards, does that include any discards from the herring fleet?
It includes any reported discards, yeah.
Further comments? Jim.
I'm sorry, but I'm a little worried about this particular motion. I think you might be creating one of these issues, like 10 fish on a boat is a violation. And, you know, that same thing we had with haddock, that is, if they can't possess it, they catch a couple. I know that, you know. So if you're saying no in possession, you're setting people up to be out of compliance, unless I'm missing something.
So I don't think you're missing something the way it's worded, but I think that if it were changed to say the cultivator shoals exempted fishing program, then it would be specific to the program.
I'll ask the chair of that committee if that's perfection is.
Unless there's somebody on the committee that objects, I assume that's an acceptable.
Further comments?
Can I ask a question so I understand the nuance?
Andy?
Yeah, so this would allow vessels not in the using small mesh, not in the cultivator shoals program for silver and red hake, to retain red and silver hake while fishing within that area. Okay.
And I think it's important to remind people that in order to fish in the cultivator shoals exempted fishing program, you need a letter to fish there. So what it would mean is they'd stop issuing letters to fish there. For the whiting fishery, right.
Further comment? Call the question. All those in favor so indicate. Zero, or are you opposed? Zero abstention. 16-0-0.
Okay, my roll slowed a little bit, but let's see what happens with the next one. Move on behalf of the committee to include in Amendment 19 alternatives that when the regional administrator projects that it's 90, right? Time my eyes are going. 90% of each dock total allowable landing is reached, the possession limit for that stock would decline to a to-be-determined incidental catch limit.
Committee motion, no second. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor?
Okay. Motion 21, I move on behalf of the committee to include in Amendment 19 two alternatives for reactive accountability measures. One alternative would be a pound-for-pound payback provision to apply to year two following the year of the overage. Another alternative would reduce the incidental limit trigger to apply to year two following the year of an overage.
Committee motion, no second. Discussion. Paul.
So the fishery would shut down. Not, you know, there was talk about a choke stock for groundfish, but what you're saying is one option would be when there's an overage of tal, the next year it'll be, you know, you set the tal lower and it shuts down at the lower level.
The first one is a payback. So you take the total allowable landings, the next year would be less.
Yeah, but so what? If you don't have a mechanism that keeps you within that, you might go over again the next year.
Well, that's the second part of the equation, is that the trigger, which we just set at 90%, would be lowered. So that we would have a lower trigger, so there'd be less chance of going over that next year. This is similar to how we did the skates.
If I can clarify something, the in-season accountability measures operate on tal to reduce the potential for the fishery to exceed the ACL during that fishing year. We're now moved on to post-season accountabilities, which operate on the ACL, which include all sources of mortality, including discards. So these are measures that would apply if the catch, or let's say discards, increase considerably. And for whatever reason, then there are two alternatives. One that is a pound-for-pound payback, as used in some other plans, and another alternative which reduces the TAL triggers to reduce the likelihood that future catches would exceed the ACL. And that's similar to how we manage things in the skate plan.
Further comments? Call the question. All those in favor? Chip.
I move on behalf of the committee that Amendment 19 include an alternative to require weekly vessel trip reporting to monitor areas fished for assigning dealer-reported hake catches to stock area.
Committee motion. No second. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? Zip.
Okay. I move on behalf of the committee that only silver hake landings reported by vessels using small mesh, including shrimp trawls, should be counted against the total allowable landings for the cultivator shoals and other exempted areas. Landings by all other gears, including but not limited to large mesh trawl, gill nets, and herring trawls, should be counted against the Gulf of Maine, Northern Georges Bank exemption area TAL.
Committee motion. No second. Discussion.
If anybody has any questions about these areas, they're not the same as the groundfish areas, so there are maps available in the document.
Call the question. All those in favor? Zip.
Okay. Move on behalf of the committee to direct staff to work with the regional office staff to develop a specification process for Amendment 19.
Committee motion. No second. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor?
We're getting there. I move on behalf of the committee to include in Amendment 19 an alternative that would establish a red hake possession limit by caught end mesh size in the northern stock area, similar to the provision for silver hake.
Committee motion. No second required. Discussion. Jim.
Yeah, a question. I don't understand it. So just a quick tell.
Okay, right now there's...
If you're in a six and a half inch mesh, you can't possess silver hake or whiting, right?
No, this is for... No, you can. You can possess silver hake and red hake right now with any size mesh. With the small meshes, if you're in, say, the shrimp fishery or the whiting fishery, there are mesh sizes with associated trip limits. So less than 2.5 inch, you're allowed 3,500 pounds. Less than 3 inch, you're allowed 7,500 pounds. and 3-inch and above, you're allowed 30,000 pounds of whiting. What this motion says is to develop similar types of poundage limits for those mesh sizes for red hake as well, so that, for example, we want to create an incentive for people to use larger mesh if they're only allowed, and I'm just going to throw out numbers because it hasn't been done yet. Let's say you're only allowed 500 pounds with less than 2.5 inch. With 2.5, you're allowed 2,500, and with 3-inch, you're allowed 7,500. If people, you know, that gives them incentive to use the bigger mesh so they can retain more fish.
Okay, thank you. Any other question? Call the question. All those in favor? Seventeen zip zip.
Okay, I move on behalf of the committee that for mesh less than 2.5 inch, Amendment 19 would include alternatives with an incidental red hake limit of 100, 200, 500 pounds for vessels fishing in the northern stock area.
Committee motion, no second. Discussion. Jim.
I'm sorry I'm asking these questions. I just, some of this, I just don't understand the how it can work. I mean, to me, if you're fishing with a mesh less than 2.5 inches, you're shrimping, probably, right?
No, there's a lot of people that bait fish in these exempted areas for herring.
So if they, to me, if they're bait fishing and there's red hake around, and you're saying that they have an incidental trip limit of 200 pounds, then the rest goes overboard.
Right. But, that's why we've got alternatives up here, and the reason for this is that the people who are herring fishing usually aren't catching any amount of red hake, and we're trying to get some alternatives that we can analyze to figure out exactly what that number most likely will be. We didn't want to have zero, because then somebody's got to get on their hands and knees and find every last red hake that could possibly be there. So the hope is it will be able to, through public comment and through analysis, match up a number here that will satisfy that issue. When you're shrimp fishing, as an example, you're not allowed to have any red hake. You're only allowed to have silver hake and longhorn sculpins.
Further question? Call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. Seventeen zip zip.
Yeah, I move on behalf of the committee to include in Amendment 19 one alternative with a 7,500-pound possession limit for southern red hake and another alternative with a 2,500, 5,000, and 7,500-pound red hake position limit by mesh size limits defined for southern silver hake.
Committee motion, no second required. Discussion. Call the question. All in favor? 17 zip zip.
For those who are paying attention, you missed it. Okay. That's the last one, so now we need, we don't need a motion to submit. I don't think we need anything else other than some fresh air.
That's it for the whiting report?
That's correct.
You're good. The Red Sox could use you tonight.
My intention is to be home in my recliner by the time they get started.
Okay.
On time and under budget.
Great job. Thank you. Thank you all for today. We will see everybody tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to tackle herring.